I want to share with you today on one word found in 1 Timothy and chapter 6. It's a subject that we need to hear constantly, and we should never get tired of hearing. It says here about godliness. You know, we all pursue after godliness. That's one of the great emphases in all CFC churches, to pursue after godliness. And here it says that godliness, 1 Timothy 6 verse 6, godliness is actually a means of great gain, provided it is accompanied by contentment. So I'm thinking of that word contentment. That means, basically, it means being happy, not only happy, but rejoicing, believing that God made everything right, made me the right way, made my circumstances the right way, and the right job I have, and the right marriage partner I have, and the right type of children. And a person who is content is a person who has no complaint about anything that God has allowed in his life. You know, all of us face a lot of circumstances which we would not choose ourselves if the choice was left to us. All of us have that experience. You look back over your life, there are many, many things we would never have chosen, but God allowed such things to come into our life. And it's not only for us, but all of God's greatest saints. God determines the things that happen in their life. We know the well-known verse, Romans 8:28, God makes everything work together for good. But also, there are many other aspects of this that we can think of. And this is something that God has ordained in creation. You've often heard me say that the first book in the Bible is Job, because Job lived about 500 years before Moses, and Moses wrote Genesis. So I never get tired of saying there are things we can learn from the book of Job. And Job had a lot of complaints about why, when he was so perfect in his life, according to his understanding, God allowed so many trials to come into him. And that being put in the first book of the Bible is to teach us that even if you're a perfect man like Job, and you're a very godly person, Job had 10 children and he brought them all up well, and yet he faced a lot of difficult circumstances in his life, and then he can have questions. And the book of Job is full of his questions and arguments with his friends. And then finally, you know, in the end, God shuts his mouth. None of those three friends of Job could shut his mouth, whatever they said. And you know, finally, how God shut Job's mouth, that he had no more complaints. When you come to the end of the book of Job, he says these words. Please turn with me to chapter 42. He says, I heard of you by the hearing of ear, now my eye sees you. Now I retract everything I have said, and I repent in dust and ashes. And earlier on also, when God spoke to him in chapter 40, he says in these wonderful words in verse 4, Job 40 verse 4, I am insignificant. I lay my hand on my mouth. I will never again say anything more. I've spoken and I will not say any more. How did God bring Job to that place? Because all the others, whenever they said something, Job had something to reply, something to reply, something to reply. But finally he says, I lay my hand on my mouth and I've got nothing to say. Well, one of the things God told him was this. Turn to Job 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And what he said is this. verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Do you know anything about that? Or verse 8, who enclosed the sea with doors? That means God is saying, why doesn't the sea come rushing over the beach and drown the town or city that is there? God has drawn a line, and that line is on the beaches. You see, it's ordinary sand with which God has drawn a line there, that the waves of the sea cannot go beyond a certain point. Every beach in the world, the sea comes up to a certain point, and it's not a big mighty wall that stops the sea. It's just sand. Can you imagine stopping the waves of the sea with sand? And it's with sand that God stops the waves of the sea in every beach in the whole world. And then it goes back. It comes again. It stops there. So he says, who has enclosed the sea with a door and prevented it from bursting forth from the womb? And I have placed, verse 10, I have placed boundaries and set a bolt and door and said, thus far you will come and no further, and your proud waves will stop here. So that's how God says to Job, you're thinking that all these things that are happening to you are without my permission. I can put a boundary and stop anything. And if I move the boundary a little back so that all these trials and sicknesses come to you, remember, I am in control. So it's very important for us to understand this, that in everything God has put boundaries. And he speaks here about creation to Job. So when you think back to creation, think of all the planets and the stars and the sun and all that God has made. For every one of them, God has made a boundary. And God told Job to look at creation and see how he's put a boundary on everything. For example, if there were no boundaries to the movement of the planets, they'd all be colliding with each other. But for millions of years, every planet, it doesn't have a free will. It's got had to obey God's command. It just goes in a certain orbit and it never moves out of that orbit. And then there are other planets going around another orbit, and all these planets and all of creation, there's a boundary God has drawn for each of them, and it stays there. And that's why creation is so beautiful. And from that, we are supposed to learn a lesson. That the same God who put a boundary for all this, all of creation that's made it so beautiful without any collision, the same God has made boundaries for us. Why do we find so many collisions between husband and wife and between believers even? People who claim to be God's people, there are collisions, collisions. But you never see a collision among the planets. There's one reason. They are content with the boundary God has placed with them. Godliness with contentment is what brings again. That means to be content with the circumstances that God has placed you in, the limitations God has placed in your life. You know, where you, if you're content with that and you never wish, well, I wish I were like that person. You know, that can happen even with children when they go to school. And I wish I had the intelligence of that person, or I wish you could run like that person or swim like that person and get prizes. But God has put a limitation on all of us. And however much we may live a holy life, if you don't have contentment, if you're not perfectly content with the physical and intellectual limitations God has given to you, you can never be a godly person. Godliness with contentment brings tremendous profit.